Restaurant Unstoppable, Episode 9.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo, what's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant and hospitality professionals? It's me, Eric Cacciatore. I have a great show for you today, but before I dive into it, I just want to share a little thought with you. I started this podcast to learn lessons from the industry greats, and I have learned a lot of lessons about leadership, marketing, and management, but one of the big lessons I learned talking to some of my guests thus far is that, particularly Evan Mallett's advice, we are currently detached from our community more than we ever have been in the history of mankind. It's partially due to technology. We've grown outside of our communities. And it's funny because the restaurants that are doing great right now are the ones that are focused on their community. Some of my guests don't even market. They don't even believe in marketing. They just believe in word of mouth. But what I like about this podcast is it's an opportunity for the local indie restaurant owner, the true artisans of the world, to get the word out about their product and services and to contribute to this community. And what it really does, by it being able to collaborate and to share thoughts with each other, we are better able to compete with the corporations of the world. So the big dog, so to speak, Applebee's and TGI Fridays of the world, who are really just squashing the hopes and dreams of the little guys like us in our community, which are part of the reason why we are so detached from our community in the first place. So that's really exciting for me, and I wanted to share that excitement with you and that thought with you, because if we work together and we share and we collaborate and we bring back that sense of community, then we will have a fighting chance in the future. So enjoy today's episode. Don't be afraid to connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+. Please, if you like this podcast and you see the value in what I'm creating, 5-star reviews go a long way. And don't be afraid to share with a friend. Enjoy today's show. Today's guest is a graduate of Le Cordon Bleu at the Atlantic Culinary Academy. He has worked with some of the industry's best chefs, which include Chef Charlie Palmer at New York City's Oriel, Chef Grant Aketz at Trio in Chicago, Andrew Carmelini at Café Balude, Thomas Rice and Ken Oranger at Clio, and Eli Canet and Thomas Keller at Per Se. He has been executive chef of 43 Degrees North and the Dunaway Restaurant, and today is chef proprietor of Stages in Dover, New Hampshire, and has most recently been named James Beard Award semifinalist Northeast. With excitement, please allow me to introduce today's guest, Evan Hennessy. How you doing?
What's going on, man? How are you? Good, man. How are you?
Awesome. I'm psyched to have you on my show today. Is there anything you wanted to add before we move on? Any awards or any acknowledgments you'd like to add to the introduction?
No, so let's go for it.
All right, man. All right, so are you ready to drop some invaluable advice that will make some restaurant dreams unstoppable? Great. All right, so I like to start every interview off with a success or leadership quote or some type of mantra. What gets the motivational ball going? So what do you have for us today?
Well, it's sort of, I guess, in two parts. One of the things we always say is that we define success as doing ordinary things extraordinarily. And then we also try to analyze ourselves on a daily basis and to improve on that one day at a time. We also get your biggest competition is yourself. Not to compare yourself to others, but compare yourself to yourself the day before. Improve on that and see what you can do to move forward from it. We have a big... another big sort of thing tagged onto our walk-in door, it just says, push yourself. And we have a couple of these things. We have motivational things all over the kitchen. And we have another one that we do, we call 3 or 30. What it means, it has to do with the amount of covers, meaning that whether you're cooking for 3 people or 30 people is not to change your focus point. Many people will go into a slower day with less focus or less drive because, they always say, oh, I'm only cooking for 3 or 4 people today, no big deal. But, when it's for 30 people, you put your running shoes on and get ready to go. Well, we like to look at that as, it doesn't matter how many people you're cooking for, and you put that same focus towards everything you do.
That's awesome, and that kind of reminds me of some of the advice that Brooke Burton gave us, a restaurant consultant and service coach. She said you got to bring the best version of yourself every day.
Absolutely.
And that's some awesome motivational quotes and mantras there. And one other thing I really liked about what you had to say, you say, you have to really know yourself before you can lead others, and you have to bring, and challenge yourself every day, and through challenging yourself, you really learn who you are in your true values and cores. And until you discover that, you can't be a true leader. So great advice, great quotes, and we'll move right on to the second question here, which is, what is your it factor? Smells, tastes, views, sounds. What are the general experiences, vibes, ambiance that your restaurant has that sets you apart from others?
I would say a combination of all of that. And not one thing specifically. I think that we try to utilize all of your senses individually, and then in conjunction as well, to create an entire experience. Again, we don't, not try to compare ourselves to the restaurant, but we look at the experience that we're able to provide and what guests are able to enjoy. And we realize just from eating and drinking and sort of enjoying various spots ourselves that all of those things in conjunction are really huge. I mean, you can go out to one restaurant and say, they had great music and had a great vibe, but the food sucked. Or, on the other side of that, you can go to a great place and have an excellent meal, but the server was like dead to the world. So, all these different things have to work in conjunction with each other in order to provide an overall great experience. And I feel if you want a great restaurant, you have to have that complete experience.
Absolutely, Evan. And that's really part of the big reason why this podcast came to be, because everyone always just talks about the food. And I love food just as much as the next guy. But really it's the people that don't know how to capitalize on all the other factors that contribute to the big picture, the big experience. And those are the people that can't, hack it and eventually fail. So I'm happy you pointed it out. And that's what we're here to trying to find out is how to get the big picture and how to be the complete package. I also found this piece written about you that I wanted to share that I think might contribute to some of your success. It goes as, its core purpose revolves around individual ecosystems in the New England area. It is filled with farmed and foraged ingredients to highlight the true bounty of what's around us now. Each course describes and creates landscapes that envelope the sights, smells, and tastes of each ecosystem, while showcasing true culinary craftsmanship and understanding. And what I get from this, basically you're embodying your community that you're like, and that's, I think some of the appeal is, people go and they eat at your restaurant and it's a connection to where they're from. And you pull that sense of, identity into your food and into your guests' food. They can become attached in a sense.
Right. We think that's a huge part of dining is to have an attachment, something you can either associate or a feeling. So much of dining and eating goes back to emotions and feeling. And that when you have a great meal, you really feel it, no matter what, no matter whether it's at the French Laundry or, who knows. It doesn't matter. The point is you connected with either the food or the chef or the restaurant or whatever it is.
Exactly.
And those things are extremely important. And, we have a great community here, and we're constantly trying to show it and showcase it.
Mm-hmm.
And, if we can give root and meaning to our food by bringing it back to its origin, I think that that's sort of the next level of cooking, whether you can say, yes, we source locally, and to us that's second nature. Of course we do. You should expect that from us. But to bring the food back to its origin and give a sense of place, then again, it connects the food to the restaurant, to the community. You have this great little sort of circle of life going on there. And we as cooks, you know, not to even bring the word chef into it, but as we as cooks, when we jump into that circle and get to become part of that, it just, it creates a, we have an experience, the guest has an experience, the restaurant has an experience, the community has an experience, and together we work together, and the whole thing is just awesome.
You said it beautifully, Evan, and with that, I think we can move on to the next question, which is challenges. Share with us one current challenge, and how are you overcoming it?
We have an ongoing challenge, and it evolves, and it has evolved since we opened. Given our location in the beautiful and lovely small town of Dover, New Hampshire, I live here, I've grown up here, it's a great place, I love the people, but we are not known for a dining area, or I don't even say, wouldn't use the word destination. We're not even, you know, known as a dining area. And so to come into this place and to cook and to give the food that we do is a much different style. Our menu style is different. Our food cooking styles is different, or different rather. Our cooking philosophy is different. And to be, you know, I have a huge list of differences and, you know, a less than 5 item list of similarities to anybody around us, which, you know, it's a great thing and it's a challenge all at the same point. And so, you know, constantly it's an uphill battle of getting people to A, realize we're here, and B, realize that a different form of cooking, whether it be, you know, sort of a more modern approach, which is definitely what we take, is acceptable and is okay. Even in a small town where, you know, we have, you know, good pizza and sort of ethnic foods here, but as far as high-end cuisine, has never really existed. And so to be the new kid on the block, but the first kid on the block, to try that, it's been an uphill battle every day. And the way that we sort of combated that is by being present in our community and to really, I'm going to create a word here, celebritize our community, you know, really show what's going on around us, you know, and show the greatness of that. And therefore, we're accepted into the community. And it helps that battle. Not to say it's never, you know, not a never-ending thing, but it definitely helps. Absolutely.
And really, in the restaurants are really all about the community. They're only as good as their community, and you have to give in order to get. And if, when you, you know, lean on your community and support them, they'll support you right back. And you can never forget that. So that's amazing advice. Thank you for that. We have the next question here, which is about leadership. It's real simple. Leadership, how important is it?
It's key. It's absolutely key. I mean, we look at it in several different ways. You know, you mentioned, you had a great comment earlier about you have to know yourself before you're able to, you know, to lead. You know, I've gone through different phases of my cooking career. I think to get to the point where I'm at now, where I feel comfortable in my own style of food, I think you go through different, you know, every cook goes through phases of, you know, sort of copying or imitating, you know, phases of imitation of other restaurants and other chefs. And this is the way that people learn. You know, it's not a bad thing. No. You know, it's how people learn. And then you're able to decide to come up with a style of your own and a flavor of your own and a profile. And then so when somebody sees a plate of food, they start recognizing it as you. And when you get to that kind of thing, then you realize, okay, I now have a teaching tool. And when you can move from there, you can teach people your philosophies, how to manage within in a restaurant environment, how to take a group of people and get them to follow you.
Awesome.
And believe in your philosophies and the way that you think is right.
So,
you know, I mean, you move into another restaurant and it's a different set of philosophies. But while you're here with us, you know, you have to sort of accept and buy into what it is that we believe.
Awesome. And what skills would you say that you have that contribute to your ability to lead your restaurant?
I think the best one is that I always consider myself a student. I think any true leader should consider themselves a student first, knowing that they can always learn, and they can always learn from anybody else. And not to say that you're the greatest, you're the best, and you're right, because the first guy that says that should be the first guy kicked off the island.
Awesome. I love it.
But, you know, we realize that we are a team collectively, but every team needs somebody to stand in front. And the person that's gonna you know, drive that and to push the team mentally and physically as far as they can go on a daily basis. And, you know, I've grown into that role. I've accepted it. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I feed off of it, you know, because their push gives me push. And you kind of goes back and forth. That every time we see, like, we try the new concepts, and it works, and the guys get it, then we move forward again. Awesome. So it's this constant sort of, you know, give and take, and you really have to work with your team, understanding their strengths and weaknesses and your own as well. So that you can grow on both those fronts, not just say, oh, I'm really good at this, I can put that to the side. You know, again, that's like the whole jack of all trades, master of none. Well, instead of trying to do a lot of different things, focus on a few core ideals and really perpetuate those, mm-hmm. and then the team follows you, and they'll follow you to the end of the earth.
Exactly. But that's, you hit it on the nose. You have to be the first one to be, you know, to go. You have to jump in first and set the pace. And if you set the pace, people will follow, and the restaurant will be better as a whole. So that's an awesome answer. Thank you for that. On to the next question, which is success. What is your definition of success in the restaurant industry?
I think it's kind of what I said before, is that success is doing ordinary things extraordinarily. You know, it goes back to simple and basic concepts of business management or a business structure and, I guess, you know, managing within a kitchen. And if you can do those not just well, but, you know, again, have the ability to pull a team, I think you're successful. I think that within that restaurant, if you were able to connect with your community, and everybody understands and you feel like you're part, like they've accepted you and you've accepted them, then again, you have success.
Awesome. So the ability to pull your team and connect with your community. I love it.
Absolutely. To make a quick note, so you notice I have not yet mentioned money.
Yep, and that is a very common quality of successful restaurant owners that I'm coming to learn, and I'm sure other people who are listening to this podcast are starting to realize too. If you're in it for money, you're going to be disappointed. I mean, there are potentials to be lucrative and to make money, but if those are if you're chasing those those goals of monetary value, then you're in it for the wrong reasons. And it's only the people that are in it for the passion and in it because they love it that are going to be the ones that get to bathe in those qualities, those monetary qualities. So we're going to jump right into the on the fly round. This is meant to be a quicker response, kind of just like your 2 to 3 sentences of advice. So
I'm ready.
Yeah. Share with us one hiring tip or tool you use.
You say one hiring
tip or tool.
One of the things that I was asking in an interview is where's your favorite place that you've traveled to and why? And it goes back to the whole emotion of what you're doing, and you realize that somebody's reaction to that question, that they physically, emotionally react.
Yeah,
and if you can see a positive thing, you got a good guy.
It's a great way to kind of get a grasp on their passion too, if they're able to become passionate about things. So I like that question.
Yeah.
Once you find these quality employees, what creative incentives do you provide to keep them as a valuable team members?
I think it's opportunity, not just within the restaurant, but opportunity of what the restaurant is going to be able to do, noting that they are key players to the success of the establishment. And, the more that they're able to push, the farther we can move this business.
Mm-hmm. Great. So we're going to get into marketing tactics, tools, and trends. What has been working for you? Can you share a practice that has shown results?
A community involvement. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think you alluded to this before when I first met you, but it's all about word of mouth. If you continue to work hard and you focus on excellence inside your restaurant and providing outstanding, exceptional service, and your guests will do the marketing for you. Take that money that you're investing on radio ads and all this other jazz and put it back into your restaurant and your people that are a part of your team. Keep them happy. Your customers will be happy. And, They'll do the marketing for you.
100%. I think the thing I said before is, like, many, many moons ago, restaurants used to be busy because friends told friends to go there.
Exactly.
Not because you paid somebody to go there or to tell somebody to go there. And we 100% believe that. We don't pay for advertising. People didn't do it 100 years ago. I don't think I should do it now.
Awesome, man. Couldn't say it better myself. So what is one restaurant or business book you'd recommend to our listeners?
Wow, business book. Two different answers. Business book, Danny Meyer's Setting the Table. And as far as restaurant, wow, there's so many. I would say anything that Thomas Keller has even walked near, and anything that Jacques Pepin has been around. Those are great inspirational things.
Awesome. Yeah, The Soul of a Chef was mentioned yesterday, and that is about Thomas Keller's following him at the laundry. And it is not the first time Mr. Danny Meyer's Setting the Table has been mentioned as a book.
Yeah.
Those, if you haven't read those books, guys, you can find them on the show notes. They're great. I'm reading Danny Meyer's right now. I haven't read the Soul of a Chef, but on my wish list. So let's see here. The next question I have for you is, what is one... Oh, rewind. Could you recommend any gadgets, services, or tools that have improved your restaurant's productivity, efficiency, profitability, or communication? These tools can be used front of house or back of house.
Not allowed to include social media as a tool.
You can include social media as a tool. We try to. It's kind of there's so many like products and services being like thrown at people today. And it's kind of hard to filter through which ones are worth your investment. So the purpose of this question is to kind of through, you know, word of mouth. Helping your fellow restaurant owner to, you know, decide what's worth your investment, what you've seen has been helping you. So it could be like a pasta machine that's like, you know, effective, something like that. If, you know, if it's, if it's increasing efficiency, you know what I mean? But
I guess if you're going to sort of put it in those terms, I mean, I think it's the efficiency of the employees. We don't have a machine that, you know, that, you know, we can put a product into and it turns out something else. I mean, we have a couple machines at work here and they all have names, and they're all standing in the kitchen right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and those are the people that make it possible. But we haven't, you know, we do so much by hand and by scratch. We don't have anything like that. Marketing is definitely, again, we don't pay for it. So, Facebook is not only, I would say just, you know, be the voice of your own company. Don't pay somebody to do that. And exactly. I probably just shot down a lot of commerce right there. But
you know what? But at the end of the day, and I say it myself, you see these people, they're going out and they're hiring. And I'm probably not doing myself any favors by saying this either. I'm very transparent, and I believe that I don't understand why people pay in the restaurant industry to go out and have somebody do your social media marketing. Yes, it's time consuming. But it's an extension of you.
It absolutely is.
And you have to own your restaurant, not just monetarily, but it needs to be your personality. And if you don't see it that way, if it's just a job, then you're in the wrong business. So
I think it's good, man. You know, I'm all over Facebook checking out other people, you know, people's posts and things of that sort. And the ones that grab you are the ones that actually feel like that they're talking to you. And we do that in our social media. That, you know, we put up pictures, you know, like throughout the day, pictures of my kids on there. You know, you can tell that it's actually done by me. And every time I sign it off, like I definitely do it from first person. You know, so that it's not at all like we paid someone to do it. Because there's a coldness to that.
And just for the sake of adding a new product or service that people may have not heard of that could help with efficiency in their marketing, if you haven't heard of Hootsuite, it's an incredible service that allows you to pull all of your social media platforms onto one screen so you can monitor all right there so you're not constantly jumping from different windows. And you can also schedule all of your posts to go out at once so you don't have to go back and update, you know, your posts throughout the day. Another app is called Buffer App, which allows you to do the same thing as far as scheduling. So if you have Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, Pinterest, Instagram, if you're using all those platforms, you can go in and write all of your posts for the whole week or month if you want to, and then just set them off to, you know, so they just are on autopilot going off, and you get to select which ones, which, you know, platforms each message goes to. So that's a great tool you can use to help make the most of your time so you can focus on making your customers happy. So on to the next question.
Cool.
What is the best restaurant or business advice you have ever received?
Best restaurant advice. Oh, here you go. Ready? So a couple of years ago, this was several years before we opened Stages. I sat down with a good friend of mine and I got all excited. I felt that I was ready and I was at the level where I could operate a restaurant. Felt I haven't had an experience for it. And sort of sat down. I had like written out menus. I had like all these great sort of ideas. And this meeting lasted all 10 minutes. So I sat down. I was really excited, and I tried, you know, again with the whole passion forward thing, put together like a show and like all these dishes, I, you know, ideas that I had, and all these different things. He took my menu papers, put them all back in a pile, put them back in the folder, handed them back to me. And I looked at it for a second. I was like, do you not want to see more of the menus? And he's like, let me tell you something. He's like, you want to open a restaurant?
Explicitive.
I can hope you can cook. Show me you can run a business. and I stood on that for 3 years.
Awesome.
Realizing that the cooking is only a portion of what it takes to do this.
Exactly, man. And that's why I'm here, and that's why you're here, and that's why the guests before you were here, to kind of help and to grow and to learn how to lead, manage, and market your restaurants. Because if you can't get that down, you can have the best meal ever created.
Doesn't matter.
And if you're not delivering outstanding service with a great ambiance, with, you know, if you can bounce the books, if you can market, if you can't do any of those things, you're not going to hack it, unfortunately. And it takes a little more than passion for food, which is...
It's a huge thing. It's a gigantic, you know, thing to undertake. And, yeah, don't ever underestimate the amount of time and work and thought and everything that and effort that it takes to do it and do it well.
Exactly.
Some people have, you know... $100,000 teams they have to do this. Mm-hmm. We don't have that, you know, so take that advice from, you know, a company of my brother and I own this. And other than that, there's just a handful of other key employees.
Yeah.
So it takes, you know, we really rely on work, hard work
and
to do it.
Also just being able to surround yourself with good people, which is, not everybody has that ability to find good people and to keep people happy. So, those are all extremely important. Great, great business advice. Thank you, Evan. That was the last question of On the Fly Round. Now we're just going to wrap it up. And I let each interviewee call somebody out at the end of every interview. Who is one restaurant professional that you admire and believe would be a great addition to the Unstoppable community?
I think you should talk to Justin Walker of Earth. Or the Hidden Pond.
Justin Walker of the Hidden Pond.
Yeah, Earth at Hidden Pond.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
I'll have to get in touch with him. Lastly, give yourself a plug. Where can we find your restaurant and services? Do you have any plans for the future? And how can we connect?
Well, first of all, so we're Stages at One Washington. We are open Tuesday to Saturday by reservation only. You can check us out. Our website is stagesdining.com. We do have a Facebook page. It's Stages at One Washington. Follow me on Twitter at Evan Hennessy or at Stages at One WA Washington on Twitter. I do have an Instagram, same thing, at Evan Hennessy. So check us out there. So you can get a hold of us by that. We do a 4-course prefix in the kitchen. We have 8 seats inside the kitchen, so it's a great experience. As far as future plans, again, it's an evolving thing. You know, we never stop here. We're never trying to do just this. I mean, been asked, you know, are you going to open another restaurant? I don't know. I'm still working on this one right here. But who knows? So I would say just stay tuned and keep an eye, because we don't move slowly.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to keep an eye on you, Evan. You can count on me. I'm excited to see what you do in the future. You were an incredible guest today. Thank you so much for the advice and knowledge you shared with our community. You're only making us that much better. So until next
time.
Sir.
Yes, sir. Thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Another great episode from Evan Hennessy, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. If there's two lessons I took away from today's episode, it's in order to be a leader, you need to first be a student and be willing to learn, which is why I hope you guys are listening to my podcast and learning from your peers. Really, it just if you think you know all the answers, that's a bad sign, because you don't. There's always something new to be learned, and you have to realize that. And lastly, his last piece of advice, which was in a roundabout way, said, it's great that you can cook. If you are going to open a restaurant, I hope you can cook. But in order to be successful in opening a restaurant, you need to know how to do everything. Hopefully with this podcast, I can touch upon the everything aside from cooking. And we'll find out. And I had a great time today, and I can't wait until next time. Until then, peace.